Last week, the President of the United States gave his State of the Union address, where he spoke of America's leadership in the world and called on all of us to, quote, lead this world toward freedom, unquote. Again and again, he invoked the principle of freedom and how it can transform nations and empower people around the world. But, Mr. President, almost in the same breath, the President openly acknowledged that he has ordered the government to spy on American soil, without the warrants required by law. The President issued a call to spread freedom throughout the world, and then he admitted that he has deprived Americans of one of their most basic freedoms under the Fourth Amendment, to be free from unjustified government intrusion. The President was blunt. He said that he had authorized the NSA's domestic spying program, and he made a number of misleading arguments to defend himself. His words got rousing applause from Republicans and I think even from some Democrats. The President was blunt, so I will be blunt. This program is breaking the law, and this President is breaking the law. Not only that, he is misleading the American people in his efforts to justify this program. Now, Mr. President, how is that worthy of applause? Since when do we celebrate our Commander-in-Chief for violating our most basic freedoms and misleading the American people in the process? When did we start to stand up and cheer for breaking the law? In that moment, at the State of the Union, I felt ashamed. Congress has lost its way if we don't hold this President accountable for his actions. The President, of course, suggests that anyone who criticizes his illegal wiretapping program doesn't understand the threat we face. But we do. Every single one of us is committed to stopping the terrorists who threaten us and threaten our families. Defeating the terrorists is our top national priority. And we all agree that we need to wiretap them to do it. We all agree on that. In fact, it would be irresponsible not to wiretap terrorists. But we have yet to see any reason at all, why we have to trample the laws of the United States to do it. The President's decision that he can break the law says far more about his attitude toward the rule of law than it does about the laws themselves. This goes, Mr. President, way beyond party and way beyond politics. What the President has done here is to break faith with the American people. In the State of the Union, he also said that, quote, we must always be clear on our principles, unquote, to get support from our friends and allies that we need to fight terrorism. So let's be clear about a basic American principle. When someone breaks the law, when someone misleads the public in an attempt to justify his actions, he needs to be held accountable. The President of the United States has broken the law. The President of the United States is trying to mislead the American people, and he needs to be held accountable. Unfortunately, the President refuses to provide any real details about this domestic spying program. Not even the full intelligence committees know the details. And they were specifically set up to review classified information and oversee the intelligence activities of our government. Instead, the President just says basically, trust me. Now, unfortunately, this is not the first time that we've heard this. In the lead up to the Iraq War, the administration went on the offensive to get the American public, the Congress, and the international community to believe its theory that Saddam Hussein was developing weapons of mass destruction and even that he had close ties to Al-Qaeda and was somehow involved in 9/11. The President painted a dire and inaccurate picture of Saddam Hussein's capability and intent, and we invaded Iraq on that basis. To make matters worse, the administration misled the country about what it would take to stabilize and reconstruct Iraq after the conflict. We were led to believe that this was going to be a short endeavor and that our troops would be home soon. We all recall the President's mission accomplished banner on the aircraft carrier on May 1, 2003. In fact, the mission was not even close to being complete. More than 2,100 total deaths have occurred after the President declared an end to major combat operations in May of 2003, and over 16,600 American troops have been wounded in Iraq. president misled the American people and grossly miscalculated the true challenge of stabilizing and rebuilding Iraq. In December, we found out that the president has authorized wiretaps of Americans without court orders required by law. He says he's only wiretapping people with links to terrorists. But how do we know? How do we know? We don't. The president is unwilling to let a neutral judge make sure that that is the case. He will not submit this program to an independent branch of government to make sure he's not violating the rights of law-abiding Americans. So I don't want to hear again that this administration has somehow shown that it can be trusted. It hasn't. And that is exactly why the law requires a judge to review these wiretaps. It is up to the Congress to hold the president to account. We held a hearing on the domestic spying program in the Judiciary Committee yesterday, where Attorney General Gonzalez was a witness. We expect that there will be other hearings. That is a start. But it will take more than just hearings to get the job done. We know that in part because the president's attorney general has already shown a willingness to mislead Congress. At the hearing yesterday, I reminded the attorney general about his testimony during his confirmation hearings in January 2005, when I asked him whether the president had the power to authorize warrantless wiretaps in violation of the criminal law. We didn't know it then, but the president had authorized the NSA program 3 years before, when the attorney general was the White House counsel. At his confirmation hearing, the attorney general first tried to dismiss my question as, quote, hypothetical, unquote. He then testified that, quote, it's not the policy or the agenda of the president to authorize actions that would be in contravention of our criminal statutes, unquote. Well, Mr. President, wiretapping American citizens on American soil without the required warrant is in direct contravention of our criminal statutes. The attorney general knew that. And he knew about the NSA program when he sought the Senate's approval for his nomination to be Attorney General. He wanted the Senate and the American people to think that the president had not acted on the extreme legal theory that the president has the power as Commander-in-Chief to disobey the criminal laws of this country. But he had. The Attorney General had some explaining to do, and he didn't do it yesterday. Instead, he parsed words, argued that what he said was truthful because he didn't believe that the president's actions violated the law. But Mr. President, the Attorney General knew what I was asking, and he knew he was misleading the committee in his response. If he had been straightforward, he would have told the committee that, in his opinion, the president has the authority to authorize warrantless wiretaps. My question wasn't about whether such illegal wiretapping was going on. Like almost everybody else in Congress, I didn't know about the program then. It was a question about how the nominee to be the Attorney General of the United States viewed the law. This nominee wanted to be confirmed. And so he let a misleading statement about one of the central issues of his confirmation, his view of executive power, stay on the record until the New York Times revealed the program. The rest of the Attorney General's performance at yesterday's hearing certainly did not give me any comfort either. He continued to push the administration's weak legal arguments, continued to insinuate that anyone who questions this program doesn't want to fight terrorism, and he refused to answer basic questions about what powers this administration is claiming. So we still need a lot of answers from this administration. But let's put aside the Attorney General for now. The burden is not just on him to come clean. The president himself has some explaining to do. The president's defense of his actions is deeply cynical, deeply misleading, and deeply troubling. To find out that the president of the United States has violated the basic rights of the American people is chilling. And then to see him publicly embrace his actions and to see so many members of Congress cheer him on is appalling. The president has broken the law, and he has made it clear that he will continue to do so. But the president is not a king, and the Congress is not a king's court. Our job is not to stand up and cheer when the president breaks the law. Our job is to stand up and demand accountability, to stand up and check the power of an out-of-control executive branch. That is one of the reasons that the framers put us here to ensure balance between the branches of government, not to act as a professional cheering section. We need answers, because no one, not the President, not the Attorney General, and not any of their defenders in this body, has been able to explain why it is necessary to break the law to defend against terrorism. And I think that's because they can't explain it. Instead, this administration reacts to anyone who questions this illegal program by saying that those of us who demand the truth and stand up for our rights and freedoms have a pre-9/11 view of the world. In fact, the President has a pre-1776 view of the world. That's the problem. Our founders, you know, lived in dangerous times, and they risked everything for freedom. Patrick Henry said, "Give me liberty or give me death." The President's pre-1776 mentality is hurting America. It is fracturing the foundation on which our country has stood for 230 years. The President can't just bypass two branches of government and obey only those laws he wants to obey, deciding unilaterally which of our freedoms still apply in the fight against terrorism is unacceptable and needs to be stopped immediately. Let's examine for a moment some of the President's attempts to defend his actions. His arguments have changed over time, of course. They have to, because none of them hold up. None of them hold up, even under casual scrutiny. So he can't rely on one single explanation. As each argument crumbles beneath him, he moves on to a new one until that, too, is debunked, and on he goes. In the State of the Union, the President referred to presidents in American history who cited executive authority to order warrantless surveillance. But of course, those past presidents, like Wilson and Roosevelt, were acting before the Supreme Court decided in 1967 that our communications are protected by the Fourth Amendment, and before Congress decided in 1978 that the executive branch can no longer unilaterally decide which Americans they want to wiretap. The Attorney General yesterday was unable to give me one example of a president who, since 1978, when FISA was passed, has authorized warrantless wiretaps outside of FISA. So, Mr. President, that argument is baseless. And it is deeply troubling that the President of the United States would so obviously mislead the Congress and the American public. That hardly honors the founders' idea that the President should address the Congress on the State of the Union. The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was passed in 1978 to create a secret court made up of judges who develop national security expertise to issue warrants for surveillance of terrorists and spies. These are the judges from whom the Bush administration has obtained thousands of warrants since 9/11/2001. The administration has almost never had a warrant request rejected by those judges. They have used the FISA court thousands of times. But at the same time, they assert that FISA is an old law or out of date and that they can't comply with it. Clearly, they can and do comply with it, except when they don't. Then they just arbitrarily decide to go around those judges and therefore around the law. The administration has said that it ignored FISA because it takes too long to get a warrant under the law. But we know that in an emergency where the Attorney General believes surveillance must begin before a court order can be obtained, FISA explicitly permits the wiretap to be executed immediately as long as the government goes to court within 72 hours. 72 hours. The Attorney General has complained that the emergency provision does not give him enough flexibility. He has complained that getting a FISA application together or getting the necessary approvals takes too long. But, Mr. President, the problems he has cited are bureaucratic barriers that the executive branch itself has put in place. It's not statutory requirements, these procedures. And he's in charge. He could easily remove these barriers if he wanted. FISA also permits the Attorney General to authorize unlimited warrantless electronic surveillance in the United States during the 15 days following a declaration of war to allow time to consider any amendments to FISA required by a wartime emergency. That's the time period that Congress specified, Mr. President. Yet the President somehow thinks he can ignore this very clear provision in the 1978 law and that he can just go do this indefinitely. In the State of the Union, the President also argued that federal courts had approved the use of presidential authority that he was invoking. But that turned out to be misleading as well. Yesterday, when I asked the Attorney General about this, he could point me to no court, not the Supreme Court or any other court, that has considered whether after FISA was enacted, the President nonetheless had the authority to bypass it and authorize warrantless wiretaps. Not one court, Mr. President. The administration's effort to find support for what it has done in snippets of other court decisions would be laughable if this issue were not so serious. The President knows that FISA makes it a crime, to wiretap Americans in the United States without a warrant or a court order. Why else would he have assured the public over and over again that he was getting warrants before engaging in domestic surveillance? And again, here's what the President said on April 20, 2004. Quote, "Now, by the way, anytime you hear the United States government talking about a wiretap, it requires a wiretap, requires a court order." He says, "Nothing has changed, by the way. When we're talking about chasing down terrorists, we're talking about getting a court order before we do so." Unquote. That's the President talking. And again on July 14, 2004, quote, "The government can't move on wiretaps or roving wiretaps without getting a court order," unquote, the President said. The President was understandably eager in these speeches to make it clear that under his administration, law enforcement was using the FISA court to obtain warrants before wiretapping. That's understandable, since wiretapping Americans on American soil without a warrant is against the law. Listen to what the President said on June 9, 2005. Quote, "Law enforcement officers need a federal judge's permission to wiretap a foreign terrorist phone. A federal judge's permission to track his calls or a federal judge's permission to search his property. Officers must meet strict standards to use any of these tools, and these standards are fully consistent with the Constitution of the United States," unquote. Now that the public knows about the domestic spying program, he's had to change course. He's looked around for arguments to cloak his actions. And Mr. President, all of them are completely threadbare. The President has argued that Congress gave him authority to wiretap Americans on U.S. soil without a warrant when it passed the authorization for use of military force after September 11, 2001. Mr. President, that's essentially ridiculous. Members of Congress did not think this resolution gave the President blanket authority to order these warrantless wiretaps. We all know that. Anyone in this body would tell you otherwise either wasn't here at the time or isn't really telling what they really think. We authorized the President to use military force in Afghanistan, a necessary and justified response to September 11. We did not authorize him to wiretap American citizens on American soil without going through the process that was set up nearly three decades ago precisely to facilitate the domestic surveillance of terrorists with the approval of a judge. That is why both Republicans and Democrats have questioned this theory that somehow the Afghanistan resolution permitted this sort of thing. This particular claim is further undermined by congressional approval of the Patriot Act just a few weeks after we passed the authorization for use of military force. The Patriot Act made it easier for law enforcement to conduct surveillance on suspected terrorists and spies while still maintaining FISA's baseline requirement of judicial approval for wiretaps of Americans in the United States. It's ridiculous to think that Congress would have negotiated and enacted all the changes to FISA and the Patriot Act if it thought it had just basically given away the store and authorized the President to just ignore FISA in the AUMF. In addition, in the Intelligence Authorization Bill passed in December 2001, we extended the emergency authority in FISA at the administration's request from 24 to 72 hours, the figure that I gave earlier. Why do that? Why bother if the President has the power to ignore FISA anyway? That makes no sense at all. The President has also said that his inherent executive power, gives him the power to approve this program. But here the President is acting in direct violation of a criminal statute. That means his power is, as Justice Jackson said in the Steele seizure cases half a century ago, at this point, Justice Jackson said, is the point at which the President's power is, quote, at its lowest ebb, unquote. At its lowest ebb. A recent letter from a group of law professors and former executive branch officials point out that, quote, every time the Supreme Court has confronted a statute limiting the commander-in-chief's authority, it has upheld the statute, unquote. The Senate reports issued when FISA was enacted confirmed the understanding that FISA overrode any pre-existing inherent authority of the president. As the 1978 Senate Judiciary Committee report stated, FISA, quote, recognizes no inherent power of the president in this area, unquote. And, quote, Congress has declared that this statute, not any claimed presidential power, controls, unquote. Contrary to what the president told the country in the State of the Union, no court has ever approved warrantless surveillance in violation of the FISA statute. The president's claims of inherent executive authority and his assertions that the courts have approved this type of activity are baseless. The president has argued that periodic internal executive branch review provides an adequate check on the program. He's even characterized this periodic review as a safeguard for civil liberties. But we don't know what this check involves. And we don't know that Congress explicitly, and we do know that Congress explicitly rejected this idea of unilateral executive decision making in this area when it passed FISA. Finally, the president has tried to claim that informing a handful of congressional leaders, a so-called gang of eight, somehow excuses breaking the law. Of course, several of these members said they weren't given the full story, and all of them were prohibited from discussing what they were told. So the fact that they were informed under these extraordinary circumstances does not certainly constitute congressional oversight, and most certainly does not constitute congressional approval of the program. Indeed, it doesn't even comply with the National Security Act, which requires the entire memberships of the House and Senate Intelligence Committee to be, quote, fully and currently informed of the intelligence activities of the United States, unquote. In addition, we now know that some of these members did express concern about the program. The administration just ignored their protests. Just this last week, one of the eight members of Congress who had been briefed about the program, Congresswoman Jane Harman, ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, said she sees no reason, why the administration cannot accomplish its goals within the law as it is currently written. None of the president's arguments explains or excuses his conduct or the NSA's domestic spying program. Not one. It's hard to believe that the president has the audacity to claim that they do. It is a strategy that really hinges on the credibility of the office of the presidency itself. If you just insist over and over again that you didn't break the law, apparently you haven't broken the law. It kind of reminds me of what Richard Nixon said after he left office, quote, well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal, unquote, former President Nixon said. But that is not how our constitutional democracy works. Making those kinds of arguments is damaging the credibility of the presidency. And what's particularly disturbing is how many members of Congress have responded. They stood up and cheered. They stood up and cheered. Justice Louis Brandeis once wrote, "Experience should teach us to be most on our guard to protect liberty when the government's purposes are beneficent. Men born to freedom are naturally alert to repel invasion of their liberty by evil-minded rulers. The greatest dangers to liberty lurk in insidious encroachment by men of zeal, well-meaning, but without understanding," unquote. The president's actions are indefensible. Freedom is an enduring principle. It's not something to celebrate in one breath and ignore in the next. Freedom is at the heart of who we are as a nation and as a people. We cannot be a beacon of freedom for the world unless we protect our own freedoms here at home. The president was right about one thing, though. In his address, he said, "We love our freedom, and we will fight to keep it." Yes, Mr. President, we do love our freedom, and we will fight to keep it. We will fight to defeat the terrorists who threaten the safety and security of our families and loved ones. And we will fight to protect the rights of law-abiding Americans against intrusive government power. As the president said, We must always be clear in our principles. So let us be clear. We cherish the great and noble principle of freedom. We will fight to keep it. And we will hold this president and anyone who violates those freedoms accountable for their actions. In a nation built on freedom, the president is not a king, and no one is above the law.